Blog Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is Dr. Drake.
Yeah.
Sir Robert Ford.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Woo! Oh, yeah. Back for another edition.
Let's go.
Yeah.
It's time.
We are officially ready to into another episode of Talking Sports with Golf Man. You guys got to forgive me for a quick second here because I was a music guy as a DJ. You know, I have to take it back a little bit because one of my favorite rappers passed me. I mean, you know, just... Shout out to Coolio, man.
Yeah. Bang it.
I mean, just one of those, man.
Yeah.
Fantastic boys. I actually played it this weekend. It was took me on like a little journey, man. So I just had to, you know, bring it up too. So
yeah, that was shocking.
Hurt, man. Yeah. So anyway. I didn't mean to go that route. We got to talk sports and all that fun stuff too, but I was just literally like, we thought about how iconic a couple songs were and, you know, Big E's and everything happened too. So it's just one of those things, man. So anyway, we're going to have fun. We got to talk some sports. Shout out to everyone. So we finally see everyone here. I'm excited to see all your faces. So let's do what we do and kind of check in with everyone around the room. We're going to start with you, Mr. JQ. Missed you last week, but glad you are back. How you feeling?
I'm good. So, yeah, I'm sorry about that, man. I was just ridiculous last week with damn baseball. You got to really love it, and sometimes you hate it at the same time. When you work in the game, you can't leave. So, when, you know, and the bad thing about it was they were playing the Reds Triple A team. So it was like, yeah, and I'm going to sit here trying to root for them silently, but then we have to lose, and it goes 11 freaking innings and post-game and all that other good stuff you know about. So, long story short, I'm sorry I missed it. Of course, we lost that game, and then we win the game, so I'm not there. So that's the way it works for me. but I'm doing good, man. Bengals got a win. I hate to see Tua get hurt like that. That was pretty bad. But, you know,
yeah.
That sucks. Luckily, they got rid of that doctor, and looking forward to Sunday night against the Ravens.
Yeah. Big game. Yeah, whenever I used to run the music, man, same thing, man, me and Zoo, that's how we kind of go back. Every time there was, like, a rain delay, man, we were just like, yep, you know, we knew it was going to be, like, a long, long day, man. There's only so many click effects or sound effects I would pull off, man. I'd be playing music during that time. It was always tough, but fun times, man, so I get you. Go ahead, Mr. Robford. How you feeling this evening, sir?
Man, doing great, man. Didn't have my asparagus tonight, but I had some for lunch, so I took a little break from it. On tonight, but anyway, I kid because I care, but all is well.
JQ, if you listened to the show last week, there was no asparagus or no booty talks last week, I promise. That was hilarious. We didn't get that.
Wow.
Show. But there was none about what he ate last week. That was nuts. So, of course,
so basically you said you saved it for me.
Exactly what happened.
That's what happened.
Coach, Curtis, Gary, how you guys feeling this evening?
We're doing good. Curtis is listening in here, and we're ready to talk some sports. I didn't have any asparagus either, by the way.
Appreciate that, man. Rob has enough for us for the year, I promise. So. I'm sure he's got his
start eating your vegetables, Gary.
What's that?
You got to start eating your vegetables, man.
Oh, I eat a lot of vegetables. That's my primary part of my diet.
All right, just checking.
All good. Let's throw out some numbers here to everyone here. And also, we got to get a special shout-out. Happy Yom Kippur to all of my Jewish brothers. Day of Atonement, too. So, and it's going to be starting, obviously, at sundown. So just a little quick shout-out to them as well. That's what we do, man. We do it all. So really quickly, to call on the show, the same number. It's always the 424-243-9519, 424-243-9519. Follow us on Twitter at number 12, THMEN Sports. And last but not least, you go to Facebook.com/ Talking Sports 12th Man. If you put in 12th Man Sports, you will find us in that arena as well. We appreciate all you guys checking in and following us. All those awesomeness as far as keeping track with us. We appreciate, again, Rob, thank you for posting the top 32 prospects for the 2023 draft. We'll talk about that soon, but, you know, that's what we do. But let's kick it off. Literally, we're going to let you have the floor, Gary. Kind of kicking off with your top five NFL teams going into the week too. This is obviously obviously a moving list, and JQ, you're going to get a kick out of what we had last week as opposed to what's this week too. So we'll let Gary kind of start it off because it's crazy how the week changed. So it's on you, sir.
Well, you know, in my number one spot, I've got the Eagles. You know, I got to give them their props. They're the only 4-0 team for another couple weeks. And then I've got the Bills in the second spot. I've got Kansas City in the third spot. Still have Green Bay in the fourth spot. And I've got Miami in the fifth spot. I'm going to give an honorable mention for a sixth spot, Ravens and the Cowboys. They're coming up. They're playing good defense. And if I were Cincinnati, I wouldn't be looking forward to this game coming up.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
I think they're gonna beat the Ravens personally.
Oh. Rob is a Joe Burrow fan there. Yeah. All right. All right.
No. I really do.
Well, I mean, yeah, I get it because they've lost five in a row and they've given up some big leads. But you know, unless they're gonna get some more people off the street to play in that secondary, they're gonna be in trouble. And that's what I told you. When they played the Dolphins the first time, and then this week against the Bills, you know, they just are banged up in the secondary. They have some bad play calling in there as well down the stretch. You know, you got to take
right.
the points.
Right.
I was yelling at the screen when Zach Taylor didn't take the points against Miami. You know, and he ran a tall sweep on 4th and 1 and didn't give him. Was like, dude, sometimes you got to take the points. I know you're confident in your offense, but you got to take the points. I'm looking forward to it just because it's another measuring stick game, right? You still the hunted. You know, they've already 0-1 in the division. You don't really want to go down 0-2 in the division, right? So, you know, you got to make a statement and come out there and try to hold them down. But I agree, you know, you're going to have them fired up. That those fans are going to be crazy. You're going to have to absorb that first blow in the first quarter. But to your five, I mean, yeah, I like the Eagles in there at one. I think that's one you just really can't really just, you know, to me, you can't defeat that. I put Buffalo and Kansas City there at 2 and 3. You can have them whatever order you want to have them in. I'm going to tell you, I'm surprised you didn't put your Cowboys in there. I think you got to. What they're doing with a backup quarterback at 3-1, you know, you look at the standings, I would put Miami in there, but I feel like I'm just going to take them out next week because I just don't know what Teddy Bridgewater is going to do. That's, you know, Tua's not coming back to me anytime soon. He may not play this year because that was brutal to watch.
Sure.
I will put Dallas in actually probably at 4. And then as a fifth one, I guess you kind of have to, but it's kind of hard to put Green Bay in over Minnesota when Minnesota has the tiebreaker. So I'm going to slide Minnesota in at 5. I just wasn't really impressed with Green Bay. That kind of struggle against a second and a third string quarterback at home, they have to go all the way through overtime. They really got some warts. And you heard Aaron Rodgers say this is not sustainable, and I agree. But, you know, if they had to come out and just put the thumping on them, I think I could have maybe considered jumping Minnesota even with the tiebreaker, but they just don't look like they're there yet. You know what I mean? Like, they're winning games, and, you know, you got to win games. But I haven't been super impressed, and they're still filling out the wide receivers and the whatnot, because you can't run Aaron Jones in that quadzilla, you know, that way against every team. If you're going to hit a good team that's going to stop the run, it's going to be hard to do that. So, to me, it is, you know, Philly, Kansas City, Buffalo, Dallas, and then I will go with Minnesota.
Yeah, mine is closer along the lines of mine is closer to JQ's, but just a slight difference in the flipping four and five. I obviously have the Eagles number one, just like all of you all. First three games, Jalen Hurts, very impressive. A little quieter this past Sunday, but Miles Sanders picked up the slack, had a big game for him. Their defense coming up with some big plays. So right now, it's obvious right now they're the number one team. I have the Chiefs in number two. I mean, they went on the road, beat the Tampa team. Patrick Mahomes just every now and again, he just shows up and just reminds everybody that, hey, I'm still the best young quarterback in the league. You know, all this talk about Josh Allen and Justin Herbert and Jalen Hurts and all of these guys, you know, I'm still the best one, right? So I got the Chiefs at number two. I have Buffalo at number three. I was impressed with them going on the road and beating the Ravens this past week and coming from behind. Their defense, that was the quietest game Lamar Jackson had all season. I mean, he was probably a front runner for MVP probably before that game this past Sunday. And Buffalo did a phenomenal job containing him in that game. I have Minnesota number four. And so I agree with JQ. You can't put the Packers in over the Vikings right now, maybe down the road. But right now, you know, the Vikings pretty much beat them handily in that game with 23-7. And, you know, that pass rush they put on Aaron Rodgers in that game. And then I had Dallas at number five. Obviously, Dallas playing tremendous defense. Cooper Rush taking care of the football. They're getting Michael Gallup back, so they're getting a little bit more weapons on the perimeter now, too. Their run game has been solid. Not spectacular, but solid. But overall, the Cowboys' defense is clearly one of the top five in the league as far as start the season.
Good stuff. I think, I'm pretty similar to you guys as far as the top five. I think undisputed Eagles number one. Very similar to you, Rob, with the Chiefs at number two, Bills at number three. You, JQ, with the Cowboys at number four, just because of, you know, they've been playing extremely well. And I don't think anyone expected Cooper Rush to do all the things he's been doing. And then you're getting some stats as far as, it's, you know, for him to come in as, like, you know, that draft pick and kind of do before and or have that 3-0 start, whatever he's been doing, has been phenomenal. I cannot, for the life of me, put the Vikings in there. I'm so sorry, just because of the Kirk Cousins effect. But again, I will give them an honorable mention. I put the Ravens number five only because of the fact that the Ravens have lost some close games. You know, the last game they could have beat the Bills. You know, obviously, like you said, JQ, that flub call from Harbaugh. You got to take the point. So, and I know it's a situation where, you know, Lamar Jackson was contained, but I still think the Ravens are kind of running into some bad luck too. That's going to have for that too. So it's tough. I'm with you guys. You know, Packers, they were stretched by an unimpressive Patriots team. So, you know, obviously, I don't know if that's too impressive right now, but it's not Aaron Rodgers' fault. He just has some unproven receivers, right? So that's the situation where, you know, again, you lose, you know, Devontae Adams, and that's a huge situation for him too. I wonder if they have him, how different that would work. But, you know, I think we're kind of similar as far as, you know, the teams and whatnot too. So, good stuff for that.
Aaron Rodgers did throw six in that game to keep him in it. So you got to put some, you got to lay some blame on Aaron Rodgers in that game. You know, without that touchdown, then he probably didn't go in overtime. So you had that piece. And to your point about Jalen Hurts, I mean, that was a downpour they were playing in. So I'm not going to put a whole lot on him or Trevor Lawrence with the fumbles. That was an ugly weather game. Sometimes you just have to find an ugly way to win when it gets like that outside.
Yeah. Good stuff.
But you know, the thing that concerns me about the Ravens is both of those games that they lost were at home. And you don't let Miami and Buffalo come back and beat you on your home field if you're an elite team. And that, to me, is concerning for the Ravens. I mean, on your home turf, you let both of those teams come back and beat your ass on your field. I mean, if you're an elite team, you don't let those teams come back and beat you. Maybe one of the two, but both of them? You left on your home.
Yeah,
team. It's tough. It's tough because JQ talked about it too. You got some injuries too, right? So, yeah. I mean,
that's
like
crazy. I think they've lost
Buffalo. That was a bad call.
Considering how elite the Ravens have been to lose five or two straight home games is. Until I heard that, I was like, wait, what? So a piece of me feels the way Curtis feels. I mean, Gary feels like you don't necessarily want to play them because they don't want that. They've been hearing about it, blowing leads. Home losing streak. They're going to be hearing about that all week. So
Bengals got their hands cut out for them. Don't get me wrong. They got to weather that storm. I just was really shocked by that, to your point, Rob. You let those teams come back. But the fact that it was five at this point and you got Lamar Jackson,
yeah,
seemed real crazy to me.
Yeah. And, hey, I mean, I know JQ wasn't on the show last week, but I picked the Ravens to beat the Bills mainly because I liked the way they were playing and they were at home. And hey, they, for a while, it was looking like it was going to happen, but they let the Bills back in the game just like we did the Dolphins.
Yep.
But I'm not picking. I'm picking the Bengals. I know we haven't got the prediction yet. But I think the Bengals
are going to win. That was coaching. That was coaching. You're right, Gary.
I mean,
coaching, Gary, you're right about that. Yeah. Hey, JQ, last week, and this is something that we're going to keep bringing up for Rob. Rob actually picked the Jaguars to beat the Eagles, by the way. He was all in on the Trevor Lawrence train, man. Just letting you know, man. He was all about the Jaguars last week. Just letting you know, man.
No,
he was
not.
Had them in the top five, man. This is good, man.
I did not pick the Jaguars to beat the Eagles.
I was the best with you.
No, I did not. I did have the Jaguars in my top five. I'll admit to that.
You have the top five. I'll give you a hard time. I'll see that Rob's going to be paying attention with that. No, it's funny. We actually had Miami.
No, I did not pick
them
to beat
the Dolphins. Well, I'm just messing with you, Rob. We actually had the Dolphins in there up top, which is crazy, right? Because it just shows you how much of an effect Tua's injury had, man, because the Dolphins were playing extremely well. We're talking about this is going to be a good game. Very exciting game. And then obviously what happened, it was just, it was just so tragic for that, too. But, just goes to show you how different weeks changes, too, you know, stuff like that for sure.
If Teddy's going to be there for four or five games, I think he can keep Miami afloat. But if he's got to do it the rest of the season, it may not be good for Miami.
He ain't no May.
Yeah. Well, like you said, Curtis and Gary picked Miami to win the game, and me and Rob picked the Bengals. So, you know, again, that's how that played out, too. It was a tough call. So we were just thinking that the Bengals were getting tired of getting, you know, whipped up on. Because, like, yeah, they're going to be ready to play, too, at home. So, that was
happening.
JQ knows my Thursday night philosophy.
I know Rob went with the home team on Thursday night. He is 100% on that. You got to be playing somebody like the Jets or somebody really bad for him to pick the road team on Thursday night. He ain't never going to do that.
Hey, you got to play the percentages, man. That home team on Thursday night probably wins 70 to 80% of the time.
Then you're right. So.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's tough to do on a short week.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about Deebo Samuels and the 49ers. Again, they just, for some reason, they just have the Rams number, and I guess we got to talk about this. And we'll throw it to you, Gary. What's happening with the Rams? You think it's a problem with the Rams or just more or less just the 49ers are impressive? Or what would you say about that that storyline?
Well, it's a divisional game. And, you know, what's weird about that division is what the 49ers do to the Rams have been doing to Seattle. But then Seattle does it to the 49ers. So it's really, I can't really figure that out. It's just matchups. It's, they match up well against what the Rams are trying to do.
Sure.
They let those pass rushers come in. They flip that ball out to Deebo. And then, you know, he's one of those guys in the league that, geez, if he gets the ball, he can be gone at any time, anywhere on the field. And then he's strong enough to withstand some of that pounding and get those tough yards as well. For me, I think it's more of what the Rams are trying to do with their front four versus what the game plan that San Francisco had, with their running attack, really. And then after they loosen up a little bit, then it opens up everything. And Jimmy G's good enough to where
it sucks.
he's able to get those passes off because now they're worried about Deebo, and you better worry about Deebo because he's one of those guys that can carry a football team, and right now he's doing a fantastic job.
Yeah, he's that Swiss Army knife, you know. You can put him in the backfield, you can catch the ball for you as a wide receiver.
Yeah.
He can do it. As Gary just mentioned, he can definitely carry that football team. It's just so much that he can do. to elevate that football team. And, you know, we talked about this all off season. There's no question about the 49ers roster. It's just what are they going to get out of the quarterback position? Their defense is just elite. They've had a great start to the season. I mean, last week, what did they lose by? 1 point to they lost a nail biter, I believe, last week, like 11 to 10 or something like that. Or was that the Broncos? Yeah, the Denver. Yeah, they lost 11 to 10. Just didn't get enough offensively. The defense put them in position to possibly win that football game. They just didn't get enough offensively. There's no question about their personnel around the quarterback. It's just whether or not, what are they going to get at the quarterback position? DeMeco Ryan is doing a phenomenal job as defensive coordinator, rotating those defensive linemen in and out of that lineup. Nick Bosa, he seems to stay healthy. His brother seems to be hurt every year, Joey. But, you know, so they're looking like a really good team, and they're good linebackers as well. They're good. They can be a tough out.
Going to be a tough out. They're a physical team.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing I like about them.
And when you've got a good defense, and I'm sorry, JQ, I didn't mean to interrupt. When you've got a good defense and you've got a good running attack in the playoffs, those are the things that travel well. Those are the things that take that you have those long-lasting drives, those drives that take the, you know, take the wind out of the sails of those fans, because they have that team that can do that. And I was looking at the Rams. They sure didn't look like a Super Bowl team to me. I hope they don't next week. Or, you know, I hope they don't this week.
Versus the Cowboys.
You know?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
I know we
really
got the predictions, but I think Dallas is going to win that game too.
But as you watch the quarterback,
the offensive line is horrible.
Yeah, and for the Rams, you know, I mean, he was throwing behind the receivers, over their heads. There was no accuracy whatsoever with him. I think he was afraid of his own shadow, because hell, Bosa was in the backfield even when they weren't sacking him. He was in the backfield harassing him all game long. And that's
the Rams should have talked Andrew Whitworth into playing his 111th season. Because that offensive line for the Rams is atrocious, man. And hey, we talked about that in offseason. That was another thing we talked about. How good are the offensive line is going to be without Whitworth? I never thought they were a great line last year, and now you lose Whitworth to retirement, and they just do not look. I know they got a few injuries too, but they just do not look like a solid offensive line as well. And hey, that's still the heartbeat of any offense, right? If you're going to have a successful offensive football team, you got to have a good offensive line. And right now the Rams on the O-line is struggling big time.
Well, the Bengals are outlier from that last year, because offensive line sucked and he won despite his game. But to get back to that, I can't stand the 49ers. They cost us two Super Bowls, but they're a physical, tough football team. And you're right, they're going to be a hard out. And you're also right too, Gary, a running game and a defense travels in any weather to any stadium. If you got those two things and your quarterback doesn't make mistakes, you're going to be in football games, right? And I think the thing about it, we talked about, you know, Jimmy G being the insurance, but you also got to remember, you know, last week in that game against Denver was really his first start, I believe, this year. He's coming off of arm surgery. They didn't even give him the playbook because they thought he was going to be gone until they was like, oh, shit, he could resign. And then you got, you know, I'm sure a lot of it was the same, but I'm also sure they're 25% of some tweaks so that you can be refreshed going into the next year to adjust to the other team's adjustments. So when you don't have the playbook to cover those 30%, 25-30%, and you're coming off arm surgery, well, yeah, you're going to look a little rusty. You see him starting to look a little better, even that throw. He got away with that throw to Debo because that was that close to being an interception. But then you get Debo, who turns that into a 57-yard scamper. And the last thing I'll say about it is I really love the rivalry that's budding between Debo and Jalen Ramsey. It's not Lattimore and Mike Evans quite yet, because they don't fight every time they see each other. So it ain't to that level yet. But they're starting to get to that point, right? They go back and forth in the games on social media before and after the games. So, you know, I like that mayhem. I like that, you know, we got to see each other twice a year. I'm not going to pretend to like you. You don't like me. I don't like you. I want to cut your throat out. and they go after each other. And it's fun football to watch. It's not always going to be the sexiest because they play really hard-nosed, grinded-out kind of football. San Francisco kind of makes you play that way. But I do enjoy watching those two go against each other.
And I like that, too, because,
Andre,
you know, as fans, especially with division rivals, you know, we hate the teams in our divisions. All of us do.
Yeah.
We hate them with a passion, and we want our teams to hate them. But then as we're watching these games today, and we're not seeing that. We're seeing they're just cordial and, you know, all this stuff. I hate that.
Kissing each other.
I want to see my team hate these guys as much as I do.
Agreed.
Yes, absolutely. I loved it, as a matter of fact, when the teams, you know, when the Dolphins were playing the Raiders or the Steelers or the Cowboys were playing the Rams or the 49ers, they hated each other. They hated each other all
Raiders.
16 games. They hated each other in the off season. I like that football.
Yeah. Andre Johnson and Tlaib, what's his name, back in the day, pulling chains and stuff like that, man, just it takes you back to all these rivalries.
No. Cortland Finnegan, when he whooped his ass.
That was, man, classic stuff. But I was going to tell you about the Swiss Army knife. You talked about that. Can you imagine, like, you know, you said Debo. And I still, like, I think that the Seattle Seahawks could actually kind of underuse DK Metcalf, right? Because that dude right there is just a physical specimen, too. Can you imagine if he was with the 49ers, too? That you think of some guys that are Swiss Army knives. Especially Seattle and Percy Harm. Man, it's nuts, man. So, but, yeah, very impressed with Debo and what they were doing.
I saw he pulled a Paul Pierce
number.
Yeah, come on, bro. You got to be able to get off the field and go to the bathroom. I thought he was hurt.
This is going to be the shortest topic ever. Are you impressed with the Packers? I don't know. Who wants to take that one? I don't know. Did you sign up somebody?
I think we already covered it.
Yeah.
I mean, I know they're 3-1, but okay. I agree with I think JQ, one of you all touched on this already, but I agree. Even though they're 3-1, I have not been impressed with them thus far. And, you know, we could say it's the wide receivers and things of that nature. They just don't look like an impressive football team at the moment. Maybe they're still gelling, but I'm definitely not over-impressed with them. I can't remember who they played this weekend. They're at home, or were they in London against the Giants?
I think
they'll win that game. So, I mean, they'll be a 4-1 football team, and you're probably still not that impressed with them.
Either one of them. That's the funniest part about it. Those are two of the most unimpressive 3-1 teams. Somebody's probably going to get a win and go to 4-1.
Yeah.
Well, the thing of it is, with those two teams, if I'm comparing those two teams, you know, Green Bay still got Aaron Rodgers. And
right.
what I don't, what we're going to have to do is kind of slow our roll on that. They're not really impressive right now, but what if we get into week 8, 9, and 10 and they're still a one loss team? Then we're talking about them. Oh, great. Here we go. They're going to have home field advantage.
And blow it
you know?
Again.
I mean,
blow it again.
as long as they keep winning. You know,
I think your schedule sets up for it.
What's that?
Yeah, that's the problem. Yeah.
I think your schedule sets up for it.
Yeah,
yeah.
Sucks.
The Giants and Jets and Commanders in the next three.
That's going to be terrible. I can't wait for this next topic. Hey, JQ, Kenny Pickett is now the QB number one for the Steelers. Now, I know you're excited about this, man, JQ. Talk about the Steelers, man. I mean, yeah, man. It's the Kenny Pickett era is upon us, man. JQ, man.
You got to be excited about it because it's going to be an easy victory the next time you play the Steelers.
I don't think so. I really don't. I think when you see from Kenny Pickett, he gets that team excited. You see how excited they were to get in there, especially his wide receivers, because as much as I hate him, Pittsburgh has a talented group of wide receivers that Mitchell Trubisky just couldn't take full advantage of. And you're going to have to live with some of those bumps in the road. If he came in, rushed for 2 touchdowns, but he threw the picks. One of them was Claypool's fault. But you got to live with some of those learning curves. But he gives them long-term the better chance to be a better football team than Mitch would ever be. And we don't see him against week 11. So you're talking about giving him from week 5 to week 11, you could potentially have his growth take off like that, and then it'd be much more of a problem. So not really. I want them to keep starting Mitch the whole damn year if I could, because now it's not going to give them the best chance to win. Right. So to me, short term, yeah, but we don't get them in that short term. But, you know, like you just talked about with the Packers, week 8, 9, and 10, that they have a loss, they jail with those young wide receivers with Aaron Rodgers. You give him an opportunity to say, hey, this is the NFL. Some of those throws, I don't have the arm talent to make them like I did at Pitt, you know, a Panther rather, as opposed to being in the NFL. And I think he's going to grow in that piece. So I get why Pittsburgh did it. I'm not really excited about it because I think with Trubisky, they could be a 4-13 team. But if you put Kenny Pickett in there and give him a chance to grow with those wide receivers and Najee Harris, you know, they can get closer to 8, 9, 9, and 8. It'll be especially if you get Watt back, because he just was wreaking havoc in that game against Cincinnati that first week before he got hurt. So I get why they did it. I don't like it, but if you're the Steelers, you've seen enough. And I wonder how much is left on Mitch's contract. I think it was 2 years, but I don't know how much is guaranteed for the second year. If they're going to cut David anymore, just use him as a backup.
Yeah, well, we knew ultimately this was going to happen at some point this season, right? We see this a lot of times with these first-round draft picks. They don't like to start on day one, but by that fourth, fifth game, you know, you start to, you know, let them be the captain of the ship and give them that opportunity. But I do agree long-term he's definitely going to be a better answer. I'm not sure if it's going to be this season. It could be next season for the Steelers if they start seeing some benefits. But I think right now this gives him an opportunity, just like Jacksonville did with Trevor Lawrence. I think they're finally starting to see some results out of him this year. He's going to have some growing pains in the position. But if you're the Steelers, sometimes you got to take a step backwards to go forward. And this is what that's going to be about for them right now. But they're going to have some growing pains with Kenny Pickett. And I don't see them being a winning football team here over the next few weeks. They may start to see some improvement at the end of the season, but I think next year will be the year where the light comes on for them.
Hey, listen to this, Gary, before you go. Their next game, Buffalo, Tampa, Miami, Philadelphia, New Orleans. Hey, good luck, Kenny Pickett. God bless. That is a 5 games to come in as the rookie quarterback. Bills, Bucks, Dolphins, who the Dolphins could potentially have two, but back, we don't know. Eagles, Saints. I mean, good luck.
Damn, that's not good. I the Steelers
welcome to
that.
The NFL, Kenny.
But I do think that in the long term, this is this is the right move. And I'm sure they looked at their schedule coming up and realized it's going to be, a tough road for them. But hey, throw them in the fire. Let's see if they get, see if they can get a, those teams are going to go after him. They're going to put him on his back. He's going to have to run and, try and create something. And it's a good time to put him in because you know what you're going to get with the other guy.
Yep.
What he's done his whole career. Yeah,
might as well.
Not Jack yet. So it's
pull the Band-Aid
off. I would have started him after the first game.
Pull the Band-Aid off, man. Let him in there. So you're gonna find a lot about Kenny Pickett after this, man, for sure. So good stuff. Really quickly, so for you, Gary, Dak still can't grip a football, right? To play right now. So he's still a little challenging right now, correct?
Yeah, that's what they're saying. So it's gonna be Cooper Rush this week. That's the starting quarterback against the Rams. Rams are going to be awful pissed off that they lost last week. You know, I was rooting for the Rams. So, what's that?
That's true.
Rams are going to lose again this weekend.
I hope they do. I think the Cowboys have the defense that can stop them. It's just going to be we can't have any turnovers. If Cooper Rush keeps playing like he's playing, I believe that we'll be able to win this game. And so far, nobody, you guys said, and I've said this as well, nobody knew what they had in Cooper Rush. except the Cowboy organization. That's why they didn't go out and get anybody. They didn't, you know, they didn't know everybody asked, you know, what are they, you know, their first round draft pick, the offensive line, to go in and replace a legend. They knew what they had, and he's done a fantastic job coming in there and replacing a legend on the offensive line. So I think that we're in good shape this week. But I'm always afraid of a team that's got Aaron Donald on it because he can just wreak havoc. Even if he's double-teamed, he can wreak havoc. I'm hoping that he's slowing down a little bit or he's a little bunk, you know, a little banged up this week. And as you can tell, I'm not rooting for the Rams anymore. I'm rooting for the Cowboys. I rooted for the Rams because of my dad. Now my dad's looking down on me, and he knows I'm rooting for the Cowboys. Just the Cowboys.
Hey, you should be afraid of Aaron Donald. The team should be afraid of Michael Parsons. And, I mean, right now, the way he's playing on the defensive side of the football.
He's legit.
Yeah.
And he didn't get a sack these last couple of games, still wreaking havoc. He was still
– coming punches.
Yeah.
He's all over the field. Trayvon Diggs, Matt Stafford's going to at least throw one of them to him. And maybe another one to someone else.
I tell you what, Cooper Rush keep playing like that. They're going to say, Dak, you take all the time you need. I need you to be able to swing your whole thumb around like this, bring it down, up and back. Like, they're going to put him through the worst, all kinds of goddamn drills if Cooper Rush keep playing like that. Because it's like, at some point, you're just riding the hot hand. And I know you paid him all that money, but he's also such a good start. I mean, unless you see him falter, and he's getting CeeDee Lamb involved in more ways than Dak was unable to do to get the season started. So, I mean, you know, you're looking down at Jerry and Steven and like, Dak, you sure you healthy? Let's get a third opinion because if Cooper Rush keeps playing like that, Dak is going to keep carrying on sideline.
And JQ and Andre talked all that noise about how horrible Cooper Rush was in offseason, too.
We didn't say none of that. We were just making fun of it.
Hey, listen,
we just like, who's the quarterback?
Listen, everybody has something to say about Cooper Rush, including myself.
Nobody knew he was going to play this well. I was going to ask Gary. There's no way you thought he was going to play this well, right? This is a great surprise, right? You didn't predict this, right? Honestly. Come on, Gary. I know
I didn't know
he was going to play this well. But I know the Cowboy organization felt like he was going to play this well. They've seen him.
Fair enough.
They know that he knows that playbook. They know that he can run that offense. They've seen that. He's going to get paid, though.
True.
He's going to get paid. He's making a name for himself.
Well, the thing about him, while I'll push back a little bit on that, is with Dallas, is that when you watch Dallas, the people that they find, they homegrown and pick, they are more willing to stick with them and sometimes overvalue them than what other people will. Because like you see, they like, I love Zeke, but hindsight, you wouldn't pay him that money. Right now, with Cooper Rush doing what he's doing, Jerry's still out on all the money getting ready to pay Dak. But these are our guys, right? We drafted them. We developed them. So they were always going to give Cooper Rush the benefit of the doubt. And it's panned out for him, right? So you can't have a hot take and then have the proof in your face say that you're wrong and then stick to the hot take just for saying, hey, I said this, so I'm going to stick with it. So I agree. I was like, Cooper Rush. But then Cooper Rush would come out there and play good ball. So if you're going to clown him in the offseason, you got to be able to praise him when you see him do the work on the field. So I give him all the credit in the world right now. He's playing good ball for Dallas. He's doing enough to make sure that defense can do what they do and they can win games. Nothing wrong with that.
See, he's seizing the moment. That's what he's doing. This is an opportunity 100%. For him to seize the moment, and he's doing that. And how long the Cowboys are going to be able to keep him as a backup now is going to be interesting. Because there's some needy quarterback teams in the league right now.
Two new words, Matt Flynn. Remember when he came in and balled out? And then Seattle was like, oh, yeah, we'll take you. And then he couldn't even get out the preseason because Russell Wilson took his job. So it's like it's hard sometimes to see that happen for another team and come take him and expect the same thing to happen when he comes to your team. So I would just be cautionary for other teams that need a quarterback to say that.
I mean, that's a true statement, but you know there's going to be a 4 or 5 teams still going after him. Though.
You know what?
So, I mean,
the thing that I would say about Cooper Rush that I've noticed, I've watched a lot of this, you know, post-game stuff and, you know, pre-game stuff or whatever, and And that's the one thing that the coaching staff was saying is that he's that guy. He doesn't get up or he doesn't get down. Coach McCarthy was saying that after the win against Cincinnati, that Cooper Rush actually smiled. That was his reaction. He smiled. He was all the other guys are cheering and doing whatever. He smiled, and just is never too up and never too down. And I think that I like that in a quarterback because that quarterback that tells me that they're still, you know, they're still hungry. They're still working on things. I like that even keel. I don't like the guy to be way up high because if he's way up high, he's going to be way low. That's what we saw with Tony Romo. Tony Romo was that guy that was way up high and way up low. We saw Tony Romo do things at certain times on the field, and you just thought, wow, that was amazing. Then you saw Tony Romo do things on the field, and you thought,
wow,
what
that was amazing.
You know, this is him. I mean, that was him in his whole career. This guy's not like that. I think Dak is more like that as well. He's not real up and down, but this guy's just even keel, and I like that about him. So far, so good. It's one game at a time. You know, you're dealing with an offensive line that so far right now, they're banged up, but they're still holding up. They're still playing good. You know, brought in an old 40-year-old guy to help us out, and so far he's held up.
And a rookie from Tulsa, he's playing well.
Yeah.
He's done a really good job, a really good draft pick in number 24 overall.
Well, and that's – but if you looked at during that draft, when they drafted him, they all gave – you know, most of the guys gave the Cowboys a bad draft grade on that first-round pick. And I like it when they pick first-round. I like it when they pick first-round draft picks. In the O-line.
Yep.
They were one of the first teams that started really doing that, you know.
Mm.
And now these teams are realizing, hey, you know, look at the Niners. Look at the good teams in the league that have the great offensive lines and the great defensive lines. That's where you win the games is in your lines.
There it is. We'll let you speak to this really quickly, Rob, about the Broncos signing Latavius Murray. Obviously, that was due to the injury to Javonte Williams that just happened to with his ACL and whatnot, too. So, former Saints player, you want to comment on that? Perfect.
Yeah, actually,
about the practice
what's
squad.
Interesting is
practice squad.
He was on a practice squad for the Saints, but he actually played on Sunday and actually was probably one of the few bright spots on the Saints offense this past Sunday. As far as running the football. So it's really interesting how that works out. He was playing Sunday, and then he's still on the practice squad. But the Saints offered him a contract to the active roster, but he decided to go with Denver because of the Javonte Williams injury. I guess he figures that Alvin Kamara will be back at some point and that he will be relegated to a limited role.
Yeah.
Whereas Denver, he may have a lot more carries and things of that nature. So obviously it's a business decision on his part. But I mean, I like the way he ran this past Sunday. I mean, Chuck, I'd rather have him than Mark Ingram.
There it is. Yeah. Not much to comment on that. Good stuff. But yeah. Go ahead, Gary. Nice. Let's move on here. I want to get the predictions really quickly, and we have to do the shout-outs here. But let's talk about is the NFC East back, Gary? What's your thoughts?
Well, you know, Curtis and I were talking about this before the podcast came on. And, you know, the Giants, I think the two front runners are Dallas and, of course, the undefeated Eagles for a couple more weeks. But the rest of the division, and including the Giants, you know, they got Daniel Jones. And they're not going to be a front runner with Daniel Jones. And, you know, and the Redskins in the division, they'll win a couple of games.
Well, you said it.
But other than that,
Commanders.
The Redskins So I do not think now if they keep winning and we get into week 8, 9, or 10 and you still see that it's a three-team race and the Giants have held serve, and then you can say, yeah, the NFC East is back. When you've got three out of the four teams at that point that are still either in contention to win the division or still in the playoff hunt, then you can look at it. But right now, no, they're not back yet. It's just a two-team race.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, the Giants are 3-1, and we talked about this a little while ago with them and the Packers. Even though they're 3-1, are we totally impressed with them just yet? No, we're not. And I have to see some more. I think they're going to go to London and lose this weekend. We haven't seen them against the Eagles. We saw that they already lost to the Cowboys. And they won some real close nail biters. I think they won those first two games by a total of 4 points. I mean, a win is a win, right? But they weren't overly impressive. You weren't overly impressed with those wins. I think one of them was Tennessee, and I can't remember who the second team was that they beat.
Carolina. And Chicago.
Yeah. Yeah. So definitely not impressive at all, in my opinion.
I mean, yeah, but you know what I'm saying? Like Parcells says, you are what your record say you are. So at this point in time, I guess I have to say yes at them being 3-1. I'm looking at the schedule. They got the Packers, Ravens, and Jaguars. That's a tough three-game set because I feel like we all think the Jaguars are a better team here recently. But then after that, they get the Seahawks, Texans, and the Lions, right? So you look at that, they can mess around and be 3-3 in that and end up being 6-4. It's not great, but it's still a lot better if we just said, hey, going into this, you think the Giants would be 6-4 after 10 games. I don't think any one of us would have said that, right? So, I mean, for right now, yeah, you know, they could maybe hang around for a little while. They got, you know, then they get the Cowboys again, Washington two times, and the Eagles in that four-game stretch, and then the Vikings, which is brutal. So, to me, I'm on the fence because of what we talked about, but I have to go with the records as they are right now, I guess. And nobody's really hurt. I mean, Sterling Shepard is hurt, but I think they've got enough weapons just to fill in for that with Tony from Florida. Yeah, that's true. But I mean, for right now, they're you know, sometimes winning ugly is still winning. So,
yeah. Well, if I'm saying one good thing about the Giants right now, they're playing solid defense. I mean, you can definitely see that they're improved on the defensive side of the football, and most importantly, they're not turning the football over at a great deal either. And you're finally seeing some results out of Saquon Barkley. If you want to say some positive things about the Giants. Their defense, they're not turning the ball over. And Saquon Barkley, I mean, he ran the ball 31 times for 146 yards this past weekend. I mean, you don't see running backs carrying the ball for 31 times in one game.
You can't keep doing that.
You got to go back to the 80s and the 90s since we've seen that.
Otis Anderson.
Yeah.
It's funny. You took the name right out of my mouth. Otis Anderson is who I came to mind. They give him the ball average 2.9 yards a carry, but you give him the ball 35 times.
Right.
He's the beast. Mm-hmm. Those are some old school teams right there. Bill Parcells back in those days. Mm-hmm. Man. Woo! Good stuff. That defense. Hey, we got Naj on. Naj, what's going on, sir?
Oh, nothing, man. Waiting on my damn food. They're taking too long, man. I'm going to keep drinking tequila until my food comes. Hey,
you got some asparagus with that?
Oh, Lord, have mercy.
Ain't a vegetable going to be in that bag. Believe it.
You got to eat your vegetables.
At least you admit it, unlike Gary.
Not today.
Oh, Lord,
hey, but I got an addition to the Parcells line. You are what your record says you are. However, if your team had the worst things happen to them, where everybody got hurt, you struggled through the season and barely made the playoffs, how would you feel about going to one of these places and playing them in their home stadium in the playoffs? Put a different spin on that Giants team, doesn't it?
Oh, no, I'm going to say no shit like that.
13-3, I ain't worried about it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I look at them as like a one-dimensional team, like y'all said. They're giving the ball to Saquon, crazy. Shout out to them for, you know, just doing the best with what they got. Shout out to Daniel Jones or Darnell Jones. I mean, let me correct his name, Darnell Jones, as the QB of that team. But yeah, that, I mean, it's a really limited team. They building something though. Daboll might have something in a few years, but right now, they just it's Saquon in a prayer, man. But they playing sound football though, so you got to submit.
Saquon,
you know what I mean?
Prayer.
Hey, you know, it goes back to the old adage. You know,
Gary said that.
And a lot of these games, not in every game, but if you're winning the turnover battle, I mean, you got a high percentage chance of winning, especially in the NFL, and that's what they're doing right now.
Yep, yep. But, yeah, man, dude, this is an interesting year so far. It's just so much weird stuff going on, and sometimes we see teams play down a level, and then we kind of write them off, and then when you see them hitting on all cylinders, you're like, well, yeah, the Chiefs played bad the other day, but when they're on, yeah, good luck. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Jacksonville, yeah. That's a dangerous team, man. You get that incompetent college coach masquerading as an NFL coach away from that sideline, Trevor Lawrence looks like, you know, the prospect we all thought he would be, man. So, you know, I don't see, like, the same as the Giants. Like, the ceiling is low, but just, you know, they're on the rise, man. I like to see that.
Devin Lloyd, the linebacker, rookie linebacker for Jacksonville, he's been outstanding.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Rob was talking about that last week, how you talked about the difference between the Jaguars this year. We actually have a quarterback. Doug Peterson actually develops quarterbacks, right? So they actually look like they're a pretty competent team. And that is Jacksonville, yeah, we were kind of talking like, yeah, this is actually a pretty interesting squad, you know, like I said. So, yeah, don't sleep on them for sure. But you were right, Naj, if you think about how bad certain teams play, because it's crazy that, you know, the Colts beat the Chiefs, but they struggle with, like, the Texans. I mean, but then the Chiefs go and just whip up on the Buccaneers. It's like, what the hell is going on? Yeah, what a weird season, you know. So,
the parody.
And
the
Matty looks cooked. I hate to be the one to say it. Matt Ryan looks. I hate to say it.
We've always said that, you know. But we look biased if we say that coming from, you know, as former Falcons fans, because we're like, that dude is a statue in the quarterback. And you can see the difference that the Falcons have with a mobile quarterback right now. So it's a whole other conversation. Man, we got a couple minutes here. So I do want to get through these predictions, and we'll probably spill over slightly into the OC because I do want to talk about – I do want to kind of mention, Rob, your top prospects because we want to appreciate you posting that and some fantasy shout-outs, and we'll talk about a little bit about that too as well. Let's give these really quick predictions because we got about 4 minutes until the show goes into the OT. Let's talk about this. Right out the gate, Coach at the Colts – at the Broncos, what say you? Besides, I was wrong about the Broncos, and half of that's probably due to Nathaniel Hackett. The coach is probably killing Russell Wilson, but this is an interesting game, man. So let's go around the horn and say who you got for this one. Go ahead, Rob.
JQ, who am I picking Thursday night?
The Broncos.
There you go. I'm going with the home team. But hey, they were playing on Sunday. I was going with the Broncos on this one. I think I'm y'all already said it. Y'all already said it. Matt Ryan is looking cooked and starting to look washed up. But I'll be honest, Russell Wilson, you know, has not been impressive so far this year. You know, you really think about it, when he came back from the injury last year, he hasn't been that impressive. So you have to start to worry. But I still think they'll have enough because Denver's playing outstanding defense. Bradley Chubb is getting to the quarterback, playing phenomenal. So I like Denver. I'm going to go with a 23-13, 10-point victory in this game.
Shit, they're going to score 23 points. They're going to set offensive football back probably about 85 years in this damn game. I'm going to go with the Broncos.
Get a defensive touchdown.
Yeah, bro, it's going to have to be that. I'm going to go 17-13, Broncos.
Matt Ryan over here. Sack fumble, Mac Ryan, and running back for touchdown.
I'm going to go Broncos too, but it's not going to be pretty to watch at all.
It was bad. Was that the 49ers and the Broncos winning like 13 or something? It was terrible. Terrible.
11
of them. It's going to be the same thing.
Now, I'm going to go with the Broncos as well, and Curtis is also going with the Broncos. I think it's going to be a low scoring game. Neither team's going to be able to score. It's going to be like a 13-9.
Bum fight, right? It's terrible. Naj.
Bum fight.
You, bro.
Yeah, 24-6 Broncos.
All right, we talked about Giants had the Packers. Some unimpressive teams. Gary,
Go ahead, bro.
Well, Curtis and I both have the – this is the game in London, correct?
Yes, it is.
We're both going with Green Bay. and Saquon is that guy that can – he can run all over anybody at, on a given day. But I don't think – I don't think it's going to be this weekend. I think Green Bay wins 24-17.
Take one at a prayer, like Nash said.
Yeah, 24-21 Packers are probably going to overtime.
I'm going to go 20-17 Packers. I think this is another low-scoring game between these two teams.
I like it. Nash,
same 20-17 Packers. Sweet. Even though I got worries about A-Rod staying in a bar somewhere and showing up late for the game. Sorry, I got it.
My sword.
So one of the pubs in London, huh?
A-Rod.
One of the
pubs. He's getting one of those doubles. He saw the commercial. He's got the double in there. He's going to pull the double in there. Oh, man. We talked about this. I think all of us are leaning towards the Cowboys. Cowboys at the Rams. I'm pretty sure, Gary, obviously we're going to start with you, but we kind of know what's happening. You know, the offensive line is terrible. We talked about that. We pretty much – or curious what you think the score is going to be with that. So go ahead, Gary.
Well, you know, the Cowboys aren't some high-flying offense. They're defensive-minded. I think the Cowboys are going to win 17-13 Cowboys.
Ooh. Seth?
I'm going to go 24-14 Cowboys in this game. I think their defense puts them in position to get a couple of easy points here in this game, maybe a touchdown. So I'm going to go with the 24-14. The Rams will have trouble moving the football, and they have a lot of woes with their offensive line in this game.
I'm going to go 20-16, three field goals and a touchdown for the Rams, 20-16 Cowboys.
Nice. Nice.
Same.
Cool. Big game. Bengals at Ravens. Go ahead, JQ.
Yeah, I agree. I told you before, I agree with Gary. The Bengals have some worries because you know that's going to be a pissed-off Ravens team. But the thing about it, though, when we talked about it earlier about the matchups and the way they happen, since Lamar's gotten in the league that first year when the Bengals were just bad and he just was acting a fool on us, the Bengals and the Ravens actually – played some really good games. The Bengals probably play the Ravens the toughest out of any of the other three, right? Like, they have problems with Cleveland with that run game. And, of course, I think it's just a mental thing with Pittsburgh, always trying to knock off the big brother and prove that you're a bully, and sometimes they get outside themselves. But for whatever reason, sometimes they just lock in against the Ravens. I think that one might actually score us a decent amount of points. But you know I'm going with my Bengals. I'm going to go 27-24 Bengals on the road on Sunday night.
Hold that thought, Rob. Get to the OT. Good setup.
Ladies and gentlemen, we thank y'all for tuning in to another great edition with Talking Sports on the 12th Man. Thank you. We're going to be on Wednesday night next week, people. Wednesday night. That's going to be 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time in Philadelphia. We want to hear from y'all. Undefeated. How far y'all going to go this season? The Phillies in the playoffs. Y'all should be hyped. You know, James Harden looked like he lost 100 pounds. So what's going on here? We want to hear from y'all in Philadelphia on next week's show, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. 10 o'clock Central Standard Time on next week. And then in the Mountain Time Zone, we want to hear from our fans in Denver. You know, what's going on with Russell Wilson? That's going to be 9 p.m. Mountain Time Zone. And Jamal Murray back for the Nuggets. You know, how far are they going to go this year? We want to hear from there. And then on the West Coast, we're going to be going to 8 p.m. In Los Angeles. What's going on with the Rams? The Chargers don't have Joey Bosa. Rashawn Slater is out as well. How bad would the Lakers be this year? Are the Clippers the NBA title contender? We want to hear from y'all in Los Angeles next week, Wednesday night, 8 p.m. Good night, people. We're going to tie OT
Sports.
Unfortunately,
we
can't click on this
thing. We don't keep having
that Lakers plan. Unfortunately, we can't give you the rest of the show live, but click on the same link and we'll get you, click on the same link the rest of the week and we'll give you the rest of the show. Make sure you follow us on Twitter and Facebook. Good night, people.
We're not going to hide that slander after one preseason game. Nobody give a damn about no preseason. Yahoo Day. Let's get it on Sunday night, baby. Appreciate y'all listening to the show. Holler at y'all next week.
I didn't even know anything about the preseason games. To be honest.
Oh, your ass is just hating, see?
Oh,
go ahead, Rob. So let's finish up these last predictions here.
I like the Bengals, too. I'm going to pick the Bengals in the same score that the Ravens lost this past week, 23-20. I'm going to pick the Bengals in there. This is going to be a nosebleed kind of matchup here this weekend. It's going to be physical. It's going to be ugly. It's going to be nasty. They may have some fights or three. So it's going to be a physical football game. Typical AFC.
Well, North. I know of us here, you know, that this is one that, you know, I really listened to what JQ had to say. You know, these are teams you go up against, and you know the teams well. I am still going. Curtis and I both picked the Ravens to win, but I think it's going to be a really. I think it's going to be an ugly game, and I think it's going to be 23-20 Ravens. Curtis and I both picked the Ravens. But I know it's going to go either way, and who knows, it may even go into overtime. But on the other hand, if Cincinnati wins, it's going to be because Burrow's lights them up. But I believe the Ravens' defense will hold up because they'll be pissed and angry, and they don't want to lose two in a row.
All right, go ahead. Last thing for you to say, you want to comment on that, Naj?
Yeah, I'm out of the bar now. It was too loud back there, man, a minute ago. Give me Baltimore 38-35. I think this thing kicks up a little bit, man. I think we see some offense.
Wow.
38?
All right.
Wow. All
right, good stuff.
Lamar and Joe Burrow. Yeah. On that, huh?
Swing out, okay.
Well, I mean, have you watched these secondaries?
True.
Eli Apple's gonna shut him down, man. That's the JK.
Stop that
done.
Shit.
shout out to the Braves for clinching the division too. We officially got the number one, so good stuff. All the Mets fans are talking shit, man. You know, y'all can just suck it, man. I know I got a lot of Mets fans in the crew, man. So. Yeah, you know, just had to throw that
out there, too. But, man, if I had to make a prediction, I think the Braves are going to repeat. And, I mean, they're just hot at the right time right now.
Everyone loves the Dodgers, though, man. Everyone's predicting, like, the Dodgers and the Astros for the World Series right now, too, man. So we got to see.
It's going to be the Braves and the Astros, just like last year. You know, Justin Verlander, obviously going to be the Cy Young winner. I think, you know, Michael Harris, he got the Rookie of the Year in the National League, and all the other weapons the Braves have and the pitching that they have. The Dodgers just is – something's missing, and it just always fades for them when they get in the playoffs. I just think the Braves are going to repeat. I hate to say it.
Yeah,
it's a beautiful thing to say.
No, I'm just excited. I love to see that, man. That's what's up, man, because – I'm getting all kinds of ish that we got to choke, but, you know, suck it. I am excited to see Seattle, though, in the playoffs, so that's exciting for them, too. I'd love to see them do well. This kind of brings back some situations. But, you know, they're the only spot that haven't won. Yeah.
And all the damn Reds.
You know, they're going to be competitive. We just watched them tonight. They're going to be competitive in this.
Yeah, I can't wait to see how they play.
But how can you not pick the Astros and the Dodgers? I mean, they're the front runners. Right now, until somebody knocks them off, you know, we'll see. We both have got fantastic records.
I think
Houston
and the
Braves. We'll see how
it
goes.
We knocked them off last year. That was a proverbial hump. But like you said, I mean, Mookie Betts is a pain in the ass, man. You know, they got that killer lineup, too. They added Freddie Freeman, which is hilarious. You know, but like you said, Rob.
I prefer to be the Dodgers, but I think it's going to be the Braves and the Astros.
Yeah, I mean, they both have those killer lineups, and Houston has the pitch in the back end. With the Dodgers, though, have we really asked ourselves, is there an ace there? Julio Urias, Gonsolin, like, is there really an ace there?
Kershaw.
It was Walker Buehler, and he got
Kershaw
hurt, and I think that's where Ross is alluding to.
Like, come on, man. And are we really going to do Kershaw postseason? Like, that's the ace? Like, I'm just saying, there's a few places where this Dodger thing falls apart. Lineup is loaded, of course. But if they don't hit,
they in trouble.
Yeah. Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Let's get to these.
And
the last,
pitching and defense become paramount when it comes to the playoffs.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Let's get through, Rob. I wanted to definitely highlight the top 32 NFL prospects that you posted on the Talking Sports with 12th Man page. And we'll get some fantasy shout outs. I'll let you guys pick the last talk, and then we'll wrap up the show. So go ahead, Rob. We appreciate you putting that.
All right, I'll kind of skip through it for our listeners out there. You can go on our Facebook page and see the complete list. Obviously, this is a little different from what I posted 2 or 3 weeks ago. You know, obviously seeing a lot of these college football games and seeing who's shining and things of that nature. I have Will Anderson still at number one, edge rusher from Alabama. Bryce Young, I have him at number two, quarterback from Alabama. C.J. Stroud, quarterback, Ohio State. Clemson, they're struggling in the secondary, but their front seven is might be the best in college football. Trenton Simpson, linebacker from Clemson, I have him number four. Jackson Smith and Jigba, wide receiver, Ohio State, have number six. Brian Breesy, another defensive player from Clemson, defensive tackle. Will Levis, quarterback, Kentucky. I have him as the third quarterback, but I can tell you there are a lot of NFL scouts think when it's all said and done, he might be the number one quarterback in the draft. He's got tremendous arm talent. You know, I watched him play a lot in that game against Ole Miss this past week, and obviously he went out of that game. But to me, his accuracy is still just not there. The arm talent is there. The athleticism is there. Still need to work on his accuracy a little bit. So I still have him as number three quarterback. I have number eight overall. Anthony Richardson, same thing. Athletic ability, arm talent, accuracy, decision-making still needs to get there. But I have number nine overall. Jalen Carter, defensive tackle, Georgia, at number 10. And here's that Clemson defense again. Miles Murray, 6'5", 275-pound edge rusher from Clemson. I have number 13 overall. Jordan Addison, wide receiver, USC, number 16. J.Q. Paris Johnson, offensive tackle, Ohio State, number 17. Michael Mayer, tight end from Notre Dame, probably one of the only few bright spots in Notre Dame so far this year. Tayshaun Boutte, wide receiver, LSU, number 19. Off a slow start this year, but the athleticism is definitely there. And Joey Porter Jr., his dad was JQ's favorite player. Joey Porter Jr., cornerback from Penn State at number 21. Eli Ricks, cornerback, Alabama, number 24. Bijan Robinson, number one running back right now from Texas, having gone number 29 overall. And B.J. Ojulari, edge rusher from LSU, at number 32. So, you know, I kind of skipped it around a little bit. You can see the whole top 32 on our Facebook page.
J.Q., we're going to let you comment that too, but I think it was funny because last week we talked about this. We had a really great conversation. Just Rob, you know, you had Taylor Van Dyke, the quarterback from Miami, up there, like I think in not, like ninth or something like that, and it shows you how he is not even in this draft that you put because he's been playing so poorly. You know, obviously we talked about that too. You know, struggling against Middle Tennessee State, and just kind of shows you how you know the quarterback you know play is going to be different. We made some jokes about Spencer Rattler, how he fell off too. You know, so Spencer Rattler. So it just kind of shows you how, you know, the quarterback play has been very interesting for sure, you know. So I just wanted to throw that in. We talked about that last week for sure, how just that
Van Dyke might even lose his starting job. He may be in the same boat as Spencer Rattler last year. He may even lose his starting job. That's how close we've gotten to Miami right now.
Yeah, that's why he moved to Middle Tennessee Public State. The only thing about it, though, is that, I told you about Spencer Rattler. I told you he was hot trash on the trash can lid. Years ago, I never even understood that. The interesting thing is Bryce because he's not a big guy. And I think that's part of the reason why you see Levis is climbing. To me, he reminds me a lot of Josh Allen coming out of Wyoming where he was like he has the athletic ability, he can run, but his accuracy was bad. So, you know, and Josh Allen has improved his accuracy. So, you know, I think that's why the scouts drool over Levis. But he didn't, to me, he didn't play a great game in that Ole Miss game. I watched a good bit of that. And he it was him at the end. He didn't let his wide receiver get set. They called a, they threw a touchdown pass. We had a call back. And then he fumbled on the next play, game over. So he's got some things he's got to clean up. So we'll see. But, you know, we talk about it all the time. Quarterbacks always artificially rise. So it's going to be some combination of Levis, Stroud, and Bryce Young at the top of that draft when we get down to it in April.
Right.
Yeah, you're right. I had like seven quarterbacks in the first round of my last top 32. Now they have four.
Right, because football is narrative-driven. So Van Dyke and Rattler, all of a sudden, okay, these guys are not only not good, these aren't even prospects. Second day, probably, maybe you take a flyer on them. Where if they had good seasons, you'd be looking at them. Well, we would be looking at them and saying, oh, well, these guys are obviously top five. And in the NBA, Victor Wembanyama and Scoot Henderson, unless they murder somebody on camera holding their ID at the camera, they're going one and two. What I saw tonight,
oh, man. You absolutely, they are going one and two.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, with football, though, man, like, the narrative is a whole part of it, like, the whole drafting and everything else, man. But the Van Dyke stuff I never bought into. Rattler, I always thought somebody could fix him and work with him. But, of course, that's the stuff fired coaches say, right? I can fix him. So let me shut up on that one. But we'll see.
Well, I said last week, you weren't online, but I said last week, that Van Dyke, I'd rather have Dick Van Dyke in there that than this guy.
Oh, man.
Oh, and the worst part was, like, they threw all the resources from that Miami pipeline at him. You know what I mean? Like, he's got access to everything, like all the resources.
Yeah, we were just commenting just how, you know, it's
so much
for
them contending for the ACC
that you want to be good. Yeah, but we were just talking about how, you know, we need certain squads to play well. Like, we need Miami to be a good squad. We need, like, USC to be a good squad. You know, just to bring back those old school, you know, games. We'd like, I mean, I know you hate Notre Dame, but it's kind of cool to see, you know, the convicts versus versus the Catholics. You know, like, you bring back memories. I'd love to see Ohio State and Miami. You bring back all these great games you remember, right? So it's good to see, you know, those teams that are well. But Gary, take the cake with that line, man.
Well, you know what I hate? I hate Elder Trash on the Canes, because that's my team. But, you know, God.
I'm a fan of
my team. I've been liking him from day one.
Oh, my gosh.
I tell you, one guy to watch that possibly is a solid mid-round prospect is Sam Hartman. He doesn't have the physical tools of some of the names that are in the first round right now. But he's got it between the ears. He's making good decisions. He's accurate with the football. He just doesn't have the physical tools that the Strouds and the Bryce Youngs have and the Will Levis has and Anthony Richardson has. But he's a guy that somebody's going to take a flyer on maybe in the third round of this draft, you know, to see what they can get either as a backup quarterback or somebody that can potentially develop into a starter.
Yeah.
Good stuff. We know that
started went down there at Tallahassee and beat Florida State this past weekend. Almost beat Clemson 2 weeks ago, too.
Should have beat Clemson.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Well, these quarterbacks are bucking trends. We love it. Let's get this some fantasy football, Rob. The shout-outs, and then let's go ahead and set it up for your last topic around the horn, and we'll wrap up the show. So go ahead for that, Rob.
All right. League number one. Sean in Atlanta, his team, Purple and Gold Patrol, we used to call him in high school Scary Daddy. He was scared of the boys. But anyway, I know he's going to be mad at me if he's listening. He won 172.70 to Monsters of the Midway, 110.32. Jim Tilly Hot Sausage, his team is Corey from Atlanta, 4-0 in first place. In league number two, my team, Bourbon Street Hustlers, had the biggest win of the week, 190.76 to Hunk Smash, 76.14, and Kid Kev, 23 from New Orleans, is in first place with a 3-1 record. In league number three, Sorry about this, JQ, but I got to report it out. My team, straight out of NOLA, BJQ's team, Ohio Players, 172.40 to 87.36. And Paul in Atlanta, his team's in first place. Paul's sensational team, 4-0. And lastly, lead number four, Casey Webb's performance team, who's also a Michigan Wolverine fan, JQ, lives in Atlanta. He had the biggest win of the week, 177.88 to I Am the Champion, 90.06. And my team, Jambalaya Spice, in first place with a 3-1 record. So those are the fantasy shout-outs of the week for week number four as we get ready to go into week number five.
Shout out to Jonathan Taylor for ruining somebody's team.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I went against him in one league, too.
Wow. Good stuff.
Yeah, he may be out
a while,
too.
Let's let you guys get your last topics in. I'll start with you, Gary. Anything you want to talk about it with? It's all you. And we'll go back around the horn. Call it.
All right. The first one I want to talk about is Ben Simmons. What can they expect out of Ben Simmons? Really?
50% free throw shooting.
Quality defense.
1% from the 3-point field.
He is what he is. You know, they every once in a while they'll show him shooting and all this stuff, and you know, just like Charles Barkley used to say, he would practice with guys that in practice, the guys would just never miss. But when the lights are on, they couldn't hit jack shit. When they were in front of that crowd, Ben Simmons he's one of those guys, I guess, just freezes up a little bit on offense. He's still a quality player. He's still an excellent defender. But he's never going to be that offensive guy. So it is what it is. The only other thing I want to talk about, I'm going to go through my college football picks really quick. And Curtis and I picked the same ones this week. We're picking Tennessee over LSU. Sorry, Rob. We're picking TCU over, Kansas?
Kansas State.
TCU still scoring on Oklahoma.
And we're picking, we're picking Utah. I'm picking Utah. Curtis picked UCLA in that matchup. So those are our picks. Tennessee, TCU, and then we split on the Utah-UCLA games. And that's all I've got.
All right.
Yeah, I was going to touch. All right, go ahead, Brian.
Yeah, I was just looking over this list here really quick. I mean, you touched on the Ben Simmons piece. Shout out to Aaron Judge hitting number 62 tonight. They split with the Rangers, won the first game, but lost the second game. It's going to be real interesting to see how well they're going to do in the playoffs. They had a huge midseason slump, started to turn around and start playing a little bit better, but I think the Astros are still going to be the team to beat. In the American League. NBA preseason, my NBA Finals predictions, I think it's going to be the Bucks and the Warriors this year. The Celtics, I think getting Malcolm Brogdon is going to be a huge addition. Obviously, they lost Gallinari for the season, so that was supposed to give them some depth. But I think with the Bucks, if they're healthy, I think they'll get back to the finals, and I think it should be a great finals matchup. But it's hard to bet against Steph Curry and the Warriors right now as far as winning it all. So that's my NBA Finals prediction, the Warriors and the Bucks. Top five college football teams. Right now I got Alabama number one. I have Ohio State number two. I have Georgia number three. I have Michigan four. And I have Clemson at number five. I know I had USC previously at five, but I moved them down, moved Clemson back up to number five. College football predictions, as much as it pains me to say it, I'm picking Tennessee as well. I think offensively, they're just too explosive. Brian Kelly has got LSU ascending, but I still think we're a second-tier SEC team. But he's got a top-notch recruiting class coming in next year, so hopefully he'll keep having them ascending. But even though they're at home, I think it's going to be tough to beat Tennessee this weekend. I like TCU, man. I was really impressed with them, man. They just beat the brakes off of Oklahoma this week. So I'd like them on the road at Kansas State and winning there. I'm going to go with I was impressed with UCLA on Friday night against Washington, too. Robinson played extremely well, a quarterback. Threw for 300-something yards, and quietly, they undefeated UCLA. They're like 5-0. So I'm impressed with them. I'm going to give them a field goal victory over Utah in that game. So that's it for me.
All right, I'll touch on two of those. I agree with top four of those college footballs, but I got to go with USC. He's so stupid. I got to go with USC. USC just has so many freaking weapons, and Lincoln Riley does a great job of steering that ship offensively. You know, they're out there. They're going to have enough chances to prove themselves. You know, UCLA, Utah, big games coming up. But for right now, you know, I'm just impressed with what USC is doing so far. The Arizona State game, a little battle in the beginning, but, you know, USC just has too much talent. Sneaky piece of it is we talk about this leading into it. Tennessee, sitting there at 8, they got some games that if they can win, they're not these tough games, don't get me wrong, but they got games on that schedule that if they can win them, they got a chance to move up and get up into that tier, that 5-6, maybe knock on 4. So don't sleep on them. That Tennessee offense under Josh Heupel is playing good ball. For that reason, that's why I'm taking Tennessee over LSU in that game. I think TCU comes back to earth a little bit. You know, sometimes with young kids, you have those big games, and then you come back and think, oh, we can just step on the field and just do what we picked up right where we left off. And upper echelon teams can somewhat do that, but I don't know if I'll pick TCU to go into Manhattan, Kansas, to win that game. Require like Martinez is playing really good ball for Kansas State, so I'm going with Kansas State at home in that game. Yeah. And then I just think Utah's toughness. It's not going to be that open, you know, Arizona State sitting there with everybody fired and just out there trying to put a team together and do everything willy-nilly. Not going to be able to do that against that that Utah team. So I am more so looking for Utah to go out there and be real physical with UCLA. Not let that was it Dorian Thompson is his name, the quarterback for UCLA?
Mm-hmm.
He did look good. He made a serious juke move at the goal line, which was just nasty. But I think Utah's not going to allow that. So I'm going to take one of those. I'm gonna take two road teams and one home team, and that's it. That's all I got.
Yeah, good stuff. Just to piggyback, Kansas State, man, kind of brings you back to the Bill Snyder days. He was just able to do some crazy stuff. You know, so Chris Kleiman doing a great job.
Yeah.
Kansas State too, man. So just impressed with what he's doing too, man. So yeah, so just
Nebraska is looking at Adrian Martinez and like, where did this guy come from?
Right?
Hey, man, Kansas State lost at home to Tulane. I know Tulane's 4-1, but
early on game for me.
Hey, man, my thing is this. Look, the NFL cannot survive adequate reporting. Double the money. Just double the money for the players. Look, we all watch this game. We want to watch it guilt-free. Don't put this on us as fans to be investigators, to look at if somebody should be playing or if somebody is possibly at risk of losing their health and all that. Give more money to the players to kind of cushion the blow. But the idea that the NFL could survive real report, like, no, they can't survive reporting and investigations and stuff. We know we're watching gladiators. This is blood sport for real. So pay these dudes more and let us enjoy this as fans, knowing these dudes are adequately compensated for the dangerous, dangerous, entertaining job that they're taking on. But don't try to play like y'all finna really investigate stuff and act, well, you know, the doctor cleared him. You know, his back locked up. Like, man, come on, man. We grow. We watched that man.
That dude was walking sideways, man. He had a concussion the last Sunday.
Don't make us have to look into these stories and investigate and then feel guilty about it. Look, man, I got some money on the line this weekend, and I want to enjoy it, okay? So NFL, pay these dudes more and just say, hey, it is what it is. You ain't got to lie to us. Ain't no protocol when it matters. We know this.
True. Cameron Brates in that game. You could tell he was woozy, and they let him keep playing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's that was scary. That's probably one of the scariest things, you know, I've seen, because I thought he had – I was looking at the replay. I was like, did he get tackled a certain way? And just his fingers, they just kept – I was like, oh, my God, that was just the most disgusting thing that we saw in a long time, too. So
that's the scary thing.
That's
like,
just tough to see.
You know, Nas mentioned it, how, you know, I know we all are football fans who it is, but it just seems like the concussions that we're seeing in the NFL and the college this year, it just seems like it's doubled or tripled of what we saw last year. Definitely a scary game. And when you look at it, I mean, just looking at a lot of college games, too, you got players just laid out on the field and getting taken off on a stretcher. So you're seeing it at both the college level and the NFL level. These concussions, they have to do something with the helmet technology to figure out something to reduce these amount of concussions that these players are having.
Well, Rob, and they have. They've done a lot with the helmets. They've done a lot with their gear. They've changed up where you can hit the guy, you know, where how you can tackle guys, how you can't – you have to land on the side of a quarterback when you're sacking them. So these – you know, defense, like the safety position, you know, the really hard hitters that we used to see all the time that would come over and just level somebody, that's a thing of the past now. You don't get to see that anymore. Every once in a while you do, but we did this weekend in a couple of the games, and, you know, they get a 15-yard, you know, unsportsmanlike conduct. They're trying to unlodge the ball, and some of that, their hands are tied. And we are watching a very violent sport. Now, they have improved equipment. They have improved how to tackle and all that. That's one thing. But also, these guys are bigger, they're stronger, and they're faster at every single position in the league.
Right.
So the speed that they're traveling at is just incredible.
Car crashes.
So, what else can you do? I mean, really, what else can you do? I mean, it's a violent sport. The one thing you can do, it's just like what Nas said, up their salaries. It's a violent sport. You know what you're getting into. Look at these guys. Look at these teams back in the 70s where these defensive linemen would cast up their arms and everything, and they would go in literally hammering on the heads of these offensive linemen to get to the quarterback. Mm-hmm. And they'd do the same thing to him. If they couldn't get to him, they'd reach over the lineman and club him in the head with their fists.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's just not part of the game anymore. You know, the tuck rule, all these things. So there's not really, I don't see that there's a, with equipment, there's maybe a few things they can do, but look at these helmets. Look at how they're shaped now. Look at how they're designed. I mean, they're designed to withstand some of that impact. It's not enough with as fast and as strong as these guys are. But can you imagine having that old school stuff on and these guys
hitting
their heads and stuff? It would be really bad.
Oh, yeah. Gotcha. All right. Yeah. Good stuff. All right, guys. Well, I know we got to wrap this thing up. We'll see you guys same time. Next week on Wednesday night. Have a great, great week, gentlemen. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, y'all. Talk to you guys.
Good night.
Peace.